And verse 12 is what we'll be focusing on tonight. Psalm 94 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word once again. We ask your blessing upon it, that we may have ears to hear it, that we may realize how important this is for us to recognize your hand upon our life, and that we would submit to it, Lord, and allow you to do the work in your life that you would want to, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we've mentioned in this series, we've looked at that sometimes we kind of think, well, blessed means, well, just being happy, that they're basically synonyms. And sometimes they can mean the same thing. Other times they can be in contradiction to each other. We want to be happy, temporally speaking. God wants us to be blessed, eternally speaking. That sometimes there's things that happen in our everyday life, in our temporal lives, our day-to-day life. We don't enjoy it, but we understand that there's a purpose in it, and that in the end, all things will work out for good, that there will be blessing in it in the end, and we will be thankful to God for it. Maybe not at that time. We had a hard time finding how to be thankful, but then we realize it's part of God's plan. And such is the nature of chastening in our lives. Chastening, we understand, to be correction, to be punishment. It can be scourging, is another word that's used for in the Scriptures. And it can be very painful. And it is something that generally we want to avoid at all costs. And the fact is that it, in many ways, it's easy for us to do so if we stay close to the Lord. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and this is in the context of examining ourselves as we partake of the Lord's Supper. That was the problem with the Corinthian churches. They hadn't been doing that, and it was causing great harm to them. And he says there, if we should, this is verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." And it's the thought that we are to judge ourselves, examine ourselves by the Scriptures, so that judgment doesn't need to come upon us. We allow the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to speak to us, to convict us of sin, show us where we need to grow. We confess it, we forsake it, and we're cleansed by the blood of Christ, as we see in 1 John 1:9. And that should be the daily practice of our life, that we, even from the beginning of the day, that we're usually kind of what happens is we wait till the end of the day and we ask the Lord forgiveness for all the things we've done wrong, and then hope the next day will be better, whereas instead we want to kind of get things from the beginning of our day, see, okay, well, where is my thinking wrong? What am I doing that's not in tune with God's will, with God's word? And we want to change that, and so that we're in tune with the Lord, so that we'll have that close relationship that we desire. And what his plan and purpose is for us is to have that relationship and be strengthened for living through it. But our problem, of course, as humans, we're all sons of Adam. We're generally kind of bullheaded. We tend to be unresponsive. Often we're oblivious to the ways in which we are grieving and quenching the Spirit. And so that makes the chastening of God necessary sometimes, that He speaks to us through His Word, and His Word should be enough. But if we're not hearing that, then often what He'll do is He'll chasten us to get our attention, to expose our sinfulness, so that we will hopefully correct our paths, return to the Lord, and have the relationship with Him that we truly desire and that He desires for us. And we understand that chastening can take many forms. In many ways it begins with simply a loss of blessing. And it's not that the Lord is vindictive. We understand with all that we've gone through in this series of Blessed is the Man, that He wants to bless us. But if we put ourselves in a place where we're doing wrong, it would be unjust for him to bless us in that. That essentially it would be encouraging us in a bad direction. And so he works with us, he chastens us so that we won't stay in that position. That it's kind of the thought, if we were truly had the thought that we were pursuing after the blessings of God, that we didn't want to miss a single one of them, that would really motivate us in a lot of ways to follow after things and to stay close to him so that we wouldn't miss out on the blessings that he desires to give unto us. But we see with the chastening of the Lord that sometimes the Lord takes away different things. If you read in what's known as the Palestinian Covenant, Deuteronomy 28, that it gives basically this promise to the children of Israel. If they serve the Lord, that they would be blessed. But if they did not serve the Lord, that the Lord would bring curses upon them, that their vineyards would be cursed, their land, their offspring. Everything they do, everything they touch, would essentially turn to dust and not be fruitful, not be profitable. And we see in Haggai that the Lord was dealing with the children of Israel, and they weren't getting it, that they were supposed to be building the temple, and they decide, well, it's not the Lord's time. And the Lord says to them, he says, consider your ways. You've sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. He said, if you looked for much, lo, it came little, and when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And so we see that the things that we do, even the basic way of life that we have, that we don't have the Lord's blessing upon us, that things are not going the way that they ought to. And we'd recognize in this also that even our health can be affected when we are being chastened of the Lord. We see that in 1 Corinthians 11, where he's speaking to the Corinthians that because they weren't examining themselves, because they were partaking unworthily, he says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That it was a very serious thing, that some were even prematurely taken home because of their sinfulness and not responding to God's chastening hand. And it's, we want to recognize that sin is a serious thing to God, and as his children, we know better, and we have no excuse to continue in it. We're saved out of that. God's given us the grace that we don't have to persist in that. And we want to seek after him. And our tendency often can be, when we're not in the right frame of mind, that when we're chastened of the Lord, we get upset with God. We say, well, how could he let this happen to me? We think, well, we even question his love. Why is he being mean to me? But when we think that way and the Lord's hand is upon us, that really what it is we're oblivious to the workings of God in our life and the reasons for chastening, and the fact that really if we're being chastened of God, we see from the scriptures that he isn't doing it to be mean. We've brought it upon ourselves. And if we get back on the right track, that will be the means for the cessation of that chastening. That the Lord doesn't just afflict us just because he's some kind of, like he likes to inflict pain upon anyone. He does it to bless us, to try to get us on the right track again. And so we must learn that as a Christian, that God, because he is our Father, he will chasten us, and we are not to despise the chastening of the Lord. In Job chapter 5, we see this mentioned. Job chapter 5, and verse 17, it says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth, therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. And it's kind of the idea that he will afflict us, but it's not to cause us irreparable harm. And once he gets our attention, once we turn back to him, then he's going to heal whatever wounds there were. And And we think of that in Joel, of how they talked about it because of their sins, that all this different plague of locusts, that whatever was left, that the palmer worm ate and locust ate, and they had nothing left. But then the Lord says, kind of at the end of Joel, that he was going to restore what had been taken away. And that's the idea of it, that sometimes he has to remove blessing because we're not following him. But he once we get back on track, he's going to restore that. And so we want to recognize that. We don't want to despise the chastening of the Lord, because we see from this passage that we read that blessed is the man whom the Lord chastens. That it's a good thing. That just with all the other things that we've looked at, that God has a purpose in. And we see this laid out very clearly in Hebrews chapter 12. You turn there with me. I want to see three specific points in that. Hebrews chapter 12. In terms of the chastening of the Lord, we begin reading at verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, Hebrews 12:5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And of course these couple verses are quoted from Proverbs chapter 3, that both in the Old Testament and New Testament this principle is given. And we recognize that, first of all, that chastening, sometimes we thought, we ask, why is God doing this? He's being cruel to me. But actually, we understand that the chastening is a sign that He loves us, of how great He loves us. That He's not going to leave us unto ourselves, to destroy ourselves, to continue in a path that will be to our destruction. Because He loves us, He turns us away from that through chastening. That just as with a child that, say for instance, like with Kirsten, that she's a climber and she'll want to get up on the stove, or if there's a chair, she'll want to climb it up. And if I have a pot of oil or something on the stove that she wants to get up on it, that I have to direct her to not go near it, because I know what harm it can cause her. And even though she might be persistent, and I have to continue to train her not to go near it. And it's because I love her. I actually had a cousin that what happened is that he was a little baby and he pulled a deep fat fire down on himself. And for years he had to have skin grafts in his back just to replace the burnt flesh that was there. And so it's something that, because I love my daughter, is that I direct her and I chasten her in that way so that she won't go near that. And if I didn't care for her, I'd just be like, well, if you want to do it, I'll just let you and you'll have to suffer the consequences. And that's the thing, is that the Lord, even though there comes a point sometimes where He lets us unto ourselves if we're being stubborn, we recognize that His whole focus is to chasten us, and so that we'll turn back right away, and that we won't suffer more than we have to. And we recognize that as parents, that we discipline and we train our children in that sense, so that we will spare them from a life that will be full of sorrow and misery and wickedness and unfulfillment. It's because we love them that we minister to them in that. We see Lord says, Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And He said to the church of Laodicea, "Be zealous therefore and repent." That it's because He loves us that He chastens us. He wants what's best for us. He sees us going down the wrong path and He wants to turn us away from it as quickly as possible so that He can bless us. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us, and it's just the same as with, we see at this time of the year with the trees, fruit trees growing, that there can be so much that you end up having to cut out of a tree, whether it's water sprouts that are coming off that they'll grow big, but they aren't going to produce any fruit, or different branches that are diseased, or different branches that are rubbing together that they're maybe not diseased yet, but they're going to cause disease if that continues. That there's things that we have to prune out to make sure that some bears fruit, and that's the same that he does. And we don't like maybe different parts of our life that he decides to snip off, but in the end we realize that he knows what he's doing, and he has a purpose, and so he is concerned for us. He loves us, and that is why we're chastened. We also see that chastening is a sign of our relationship with him, that in some ways we can rejoice in it because it's kind of an assurance of our salvation. He says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? That it's the sense of that if we weren't his children, he wouldn't have that focus with us. And we see from verse 8 how it speaks of how that if we're not chastened, that there's maybe a sign that something's not right, that something's illegitimate in our relationship, and we want to be sure of that. And we recognize that it doesn't mean that the wicked in this world go completely unpunished and just the Christian is punished, because we recognize that there's always consequences to sin. That if someone abuses their body with drugs and other things, that it's going to affect them later on. There's always different punishments. But we recognize if there's a group of children that are like throwing rocks in an old building or doing graffiti, and one of them's your own child, that sure, you might yell to all of them that they need to stop doing what they're doing, but because one is your child, you're going to give them special attention because they're your own child, because especially as you've trained them, that they should know better, that the father has a right to direct the life of their child. They're not necessarily as responsible for others' training, but they are responsible for their own child. And we recognize that that as God's children, of anyone, that we should know better, that God is not a permissive parent to us, that if anything, he is harder on us as believers than he is with the lost, because we are his children. And we want to recognize that and be thankful for that, that it's something that we don't appreciate it at the time, but we realize that it's a sign of our relationship with him, that he is interested, that we belong to him. He's adopted us as his son, as his sons and daughters, and he's going to make sure that we are going to grow in grace and become what he wants us to be. And we see in verse 9, the idea of it, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? That it's the idea that we need to give him reverence as our Father in this. That we need to submit to the mighty hand of God. Someone has said that the sting of chastisement upon us will be lessened if we draw closer to the one delivering the blows. That if we recognize our sin, if we immediately see that we have done wrong, and we're repentant and we confess and forsake it, and then we realize that there's going to be a tenderness, there's going to be a more opportunity for mercy when we have that attitude. If we're just going to be bullheaded and continue, it's just going to continue on and get worse and worse. But if we draw close to the one delivering the blows, the sting of the chastisement upon us will be lessened. And we want to understand God's purpose in chastening. And it's to bring us back in closeness for him. And we see verse 10 of that passage in Hebrews 12. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And that's what he desires. He wants us, it's for our benefit. We see that it's no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grieveth. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's what we recognize, that it's going to have a purpose, that it won't make us happy in the time, but it will make us blessed for eternity. That if we do not despise the chastening of the Lord, but we submit to it, that we see what the Lord's trying to teach us, we take heed to the Word so that we can be in a place where He can bless us again. And it's all part of His teaching, all part of His guidance. He's trying to deliver us from further affliction, further sorrow. Whatever path that we are taking, He knows where it leads. He knows the end from the beginning. And He says, I don't want you to go down that path. It's going to be harmful to you. And if you're going to persist in that, I'm going to chasten you so you get back on the right path again for your own good, for your own blessing. And we see that from the Scriptures, that as we are chastened of the Lord, that we are blessed because of it. In Psalm 119, verse 67, the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. In verse 71, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. That it's not necessary for us to be afflicted to learn the Scriptures, but sometimes we read it, but we don't apply it to our lives, and the Lord has to bring chastening to bring it home to us so that we say, yes, that is the truth. I need to follow it. I need to apply it to my life. And we learn the value of it. And this is David speaking, Psalm 141. It says, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. That it's the thought that when we have someone that comes along and tells us where we're wrong, someone that's a righteous person, that it isn't something that we get upset about, but we're thankful for it because it helps us and strengthens us so that we would do what is right. Proverbs 9, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. That it's that thought that we want to be wise, and as the Lord speaks to us, as the Lord might chasten to us, that we don't continue in what we're doing, that we get the message as quickly as possible. We recognize, as we've gone through this series, as we'll continue to do so, that God wants to bless us. But if He is going to bless us, we need to be in a place where He can bless us. And when we wander out of that, He chastens us so that we might return to that place where He could bless us. And the outpouring of those blessings can be not only restored, but increased. And so may the Lord help us in this, that we would recognize God's chastening hand, that we would not be slow learners, that we would learn quickly, and so that we can get back on the path, that we can be blessed, that it may be hard for a time, but we realize it's for our profit, it's for our eternal benefit. And as we submit and surrender and allow the Lord to do His work through it, and we allow Him to expose what we're doing wrong so we can get on the right path, then we will be blessed of the Lord. So let's turn now to one more hymn, number 17. We'll sing Come Thou Fount, hymn number 17.